Expecting anyone not to attend?
I haven't heard from anybody.
Kim Brennan called me, she's stuck behind a train.
You do have a quorum here.
All right, we'll begin our meeting. And our agenda has citizen comments first. Are there any citizen comments? All right, seeing none. I have no reports. Do any committee members? Ron, we're on committee reports. All right, seeing none. Minutes are before you.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any additions or corrections to the minutes? All right. All those in favor of approval, say aye.
Aye.
The next item is joint services, the resolution for distribution of funds for the project manager and Todd.
Good evening. In front of you is a resolution to request disbursement of funds to hire a project manager. The project manager is to assist with the implementation, the contract negotiations for the public safety software. The Joint Services Board has approved a total of $300,000 to pay for the project manager. We've identified one and we're looking to pay him. So I'm here to request approval of the resolution.
All right, discussion, questions?
Yes. What's the county's share of that $300,000?
I believe it would be $170,000. Pardon me?
Just for the committee, it's just being taken out of the money we already budgeted. We're not looking to go outside of the money that we budgeted, but I think it's a 64% split.
54.4.
Right. Okay. All right. My mind is slipping. I'm getting a little older, but that's the percentage. So, thank you. Move to approve if there's no other comments.
All right. Is there a second?
Second.
Further discussion? This is not a budget change.
Right. It's a simple majority. We're just approving the disbursement.
Just remind us, was that the money set aside was for just the general project, not specific?
It was $1.7 million budgeted for the software project, and the rule that the board adopted was if they want to disperse any or any part of that, then they would come in and get approval. Yeah. And you came in an approval for a smaller piece, and now this is the project manager. And then later, you'll probably come in once you finalize the whole project and identify the software, then you'll bring the whole thing in. Right.
So that is correct.
That'll probably be the next time we'll see on this, and maybe the last on this item.
Well, I enjoy coming, huh?
Especially with the candy. We have quality candy.
What is your last name?
Genthener, G-E-N-T-H-N-E-R.
So this is an independent, just so we have a little more detail, this is an independent person, independent contractor who will, what exactly will that person do?
He will be a limited term employee. His employment will be for the length of the project. We anticipate that to be 12 to 18 months. He is an independent contractor. He is a certified public project manager, been through PMP, I believe it is, which is the standard to the industry for project manager. He has an extensive history in project management, including government. We went through an evaluation committee, including people from Sheriff's Department, Police Department, Joint Services, and selected him.
So there is a person here?
Yes, it is. His name is Mark Roush.
And he has or has not started?
He has started.
And what is his salary then?
The salary is...
Is this a fixed salary?
Yeah, it's a fixed hourly rate. The board has set a maximum of $300,000 for the period of time that it will take for the project to be completed.
For 18 months. So what is his hourly rate?
It is $95 an hour. We recruited him through Robert Half, and so there's an arrangement there with it's like a headhunter type organization.
All right, anybody else on this question? So he's a full 40 hours a week he's working?
That is correct.
All right, anyone else? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right, pass this.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tom.
Oh, Aaron. All right, we are, Aaron, for your presentation on number seven. All right, let's move on then to the public works presentation.
Al, do you know who's presenting the public work?
I thought Jim was, but I can. This is, I can't do it. This is a resolution to accept a $10,000 grant from We Energies for just to install some LED lighting.
Discussion?
I have no problem. Move to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there some addition that we're adding to this? Is the county adding money to the $10,000?
No.
Anybody else? Seeing no discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
So this is just regular.
This is a budget amendment, right?
Correct.
It's a two-thirds.
It's just adding, $10,000 to the energy reduction account in the grant revenue.
So voice vote is okay?
Pardon?
Voice vote is okay for this? Doesn't have to be.
Yes, what did I?
I talked to him today. Call him?
I don't.
We're just moving on here to number eight, the tax certificates, et cetera, et cetera.
Should I walk really slow until Bernie gets here?
No, he was coming. I talked to him this afternoon about the
I'm like, this afternoon he said he was coming. I don't know where he is.
Who was supposed to come?
Bernie from Corp Council.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. We did move at lightning speed, so maybe he got held up.
Do we have a phone number?
I don't have his cell.
Anybody? Rochelle, don't you have all the phone numbers? You can add them, everybody.
Are you ready to explain it to us?
I can at least start going, and then we'll start going, and then hopefully Bernie will get here before we're done. How about that? I was looking at the committee, and I think Terry might be the only one on this committee that's been here when we've had one of these before, since we had one in 2007, and I don't think the rest of you were here then.
Had one of these?
Yes. Had one of these.
Like a Big Mac.
Yeah, it's a fairly new statutory change in that it happened after you were Treasurer, Ron, that allows the county to use a tool to help with the remediation of contaminated sites. And what that tool is that in return for remediating a contaminated site, we are allowed to waive taxes.
Oh, aren't we lucky?
I know.
we paid the city, and now we're going to waive them, right?
And so so that's one of the tools we have. The one thing, if you read the statute, that we cannot do is we cannot waive special assessments. That is purely a city function, and they have to decide if they're going to do that or not. The statute requires us to do the person to request this to do several things. And one of those things is make sure to have a phase one and phase two to make sure it actually is contaminated. And then they have to apply to the State Department of Natural Resources with a plan on how they're going to remediate it. That plan has to be accepted, and they have to sign that agreement with the DNR.
Who is they?
In this case, it is that gentleman over there. And it's the Wells property downtown. As I think all of you know, it's been a industrial site for over 100 years and has all sorts of fun and exciting things in the soil and around it. I can talk for a while, Bernie.
You're doing fine. She's doing fine.
And so
an entrance.
He likes to. And Terry, you may recall last time, the requirements are those to request it, but we had added an additional requirement as a county, which was a letter of credit for the amount of the taxes, which would be released once the remediation is complete. Because,
explain that. What do you mean, a letter?
A letter of credit. They put the money on hold for us. So if they don't complete the project,
I got you.
We get paid.
May I?
Mm-hmm.
Letter of credit is kind of like cash in the bank for us, and the bank won't release it back to the depositor until we give the written okay. And we won't give the written okay until the DNR gives a satisfaction of cleanup to the treasurer. It's very nice because we don't have to go to court, we don't have to start an action or make an affidavit or anything. We just go to the bank and draw it if we're entitled to it, if they breach their agreement. That's the nice thing about letters of credit.
So I have a question before you go any further. What happens if someone, we're not lucky enough to have someone come along like I.J. Bear and develop this property and be willing to clean it up? Then we take a tax deed and we're stuck with cleaning it up?
If we take the tax deed, historically the county has not taken tax deed to contaminated properties.
We wouldn't.
And then what happens is it sits there eternally, and we keep paying out portions of taxes to the other taxing entities because it's still a taxable property.
I just wanted to.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
And I know very little about this, but what I'm seeing is we are giving up $41,928, and they say in return we will clean up the contamination. My question is, doesn't the government offer greenfield money or something to clean up contaminated areas? And have we even tried to look in that direction?
Let me just call. I understand the project manager's here, and I'm sorry that I don't
yes.
know your name, but what, why don't you introduce yourself?
Josh Moulter, the project manager here for this Bear Development. And precisely on your question, we went and secured those funds, but with this site, with the level of asbestos inside the building and the soil contamination, since it was a foundry from 1860 to 1890, is almost $1 million in
how much?
Site remediation, almost $1 million. So just with the building demo and asbestos, that's $400,000 roughly, and we have to export a large amount of the soil off the site because it's got VOCs and bad stuff in it that we have to send to a special dump and then bring in clean soils. So for this case, the remediation was far exceeded the amount of brownfield grant funds that were available.
Okay.
So how much are you getting some brownfield grant funds?
Yes, sir.
And how much are those?
With WEDEC, it's a $500,000 grant for that. And then there's a site assessment grant to cover a lot of the environmental consulting reports, because just to do all the testing and everything is about $100,000 as well.
So your total of grant money from all sources is $600,000?
$650,000.
And the total cost of the remediation is
over $1 million.
For ground and building?
Yes, sir. And building for the entire block. The soil remediation cost is just for phase one. Phase two is another three apartment building next door, and that will have to export a lot more soil on that one too. So that $1 million is for the initial phase one, and then there's two more phases that there'll be additional cost to be able to remediate the site and build on.
And when do you expect to do that?
We expect to start demolition in November. So it's two months or so of abatement with all the asbestos inside, and the demolition, and then we'll start construction early next year of the first phase.
Right.
The property is in foreclosure right now, then, is it?
We bought it by
Wells,
Sheriff's deed.
Wells is law out of it. Right?
They are out of it, yes, sir.
Because
anyone else, Jeff?
Let's do it first.
Is there a second?
Second. Just for the information, that back taxes is more like 85, let's see.
What is the exact figure?
The base amount of the tax is $41,928.40.
How did you get the $41,000? I added them both up and came up with a lot.
It's the base amount of the taxes.
Yeah, there's...
Without the interest and penalty.
Yeah, but there's 9, 10, 11, and 12 owed.
Mm-hmm. That's $34,000 on one and $7,000 on the other parcel.
And you are burning for the board.
Not what I saw on the internet. The numbers were different on the internet.
That's probably with the interest and penalty.
Oh, the interest.
Oh, and then you probably also saw the specials, because we can't waive the specials.
Okay,
so, we don't own specials. So
the city's going to have to pay that.
That's going to be their deal. That is not our problem.
Okay.
All right. Can you, for the board, assuming this passes, put some of those facts down, amount of tax due, how much is the abatement, grants received?
Sure. I actually have the spreadsheet with
the
taxes.
Resolution. Well, I think you should put it in a brief memo for the board's education.
We can do that.
But the chairman of the committee needs to, so you could go, because it's not simple. It's complicated, but it's a lot of money. But you know, in fairness, if Bear hadn't come along, I don't know what would have happened. We'd have probably ended up with a big mess. So.
It would have sat there for a while longer.
Yeah. I wish we would have somebody come along for all of the sites that we have in the city like this. It would be lovely.
If this one goes well, I'm going to start looking at the next.
All right. We have some gas stations to put on your list.
I don't do underground storage
things. All right, further discussion? Seeing none, there's a motion on the floor. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes and we'll circulate that.
There's the resolution for the $10,000 grant is right here.
Kim, do you want to move to the floor?
Absolutely.
Did I sign that?
Yeah, you signed it.
This is the whole block. It's going to come down. This is the first phase of the second phase.
Oh, I move with adjourn. Oh, no, kidding.
What?
So you got the
That's
like the long train, and then when they back up to add something on there?
I'm not going to lie. That's okay. That's just what the days were.
Yeah. I just get frazzled.
Buddy was here to find me.
He knows you get frazzled.
I know. Drives me crazy.
Oh, sorry.
All right, then we'll move on to the next order of business. The are the bills being circulated?
Do you need an agenda or anything, Ken?
Nope.
And then we go to our report section, first with finance, and Dave, you're going to tell us about the TID district issue that we discussed before.
Are we able to put that up on the screen? Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And
what did I just sign?
We have three of them. Probably public works.
You got that hearing on the shoulders. You got that hearing on the
shoulders. What page do you want?
The first thing I want to put up there, April, is this. Lucky to make that a little bigger.
Lucky that Wells came along and developed that property.
So I think you got all the resolution.
You made a lot bigger too.
You can't see that. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I can't. Oh,
okay. Maybe okay. You should scoot a little closer to it.
9:04.
Oh, gosh, we're almost ready to adjourn here.
As soon as my hours been.
I sent the bills around.
Yes, you did, sir.
Okay, good.
Yep, they're right
so,
there. What about the budget?
They're stuck by.
Did you send the bills around?
Yeah, this, I don't know.
What?
This report is a nutshell summary of the estimated. Well, first of all, this transfer has been approved by all levels, by the city, the plan commission, and by the transition board. So this. Proposal made by the city is approved and final. And that's the one we talked about at the last meeting. And so based on that approval, these are the estimated dates that the TIDs will go on the regular actual. So you can see TID 11 will go on. Let me try to tell you what TID 11 is the first industrial site. which I think you know what that is. First Industrial is the big warehouse on, is it on 52nd or on Highway 50? It's on 52nd, right?
I believe it's on 52nd, yeah.
So that one will go on the tax rolls estimate in 2019. Then you can see the next ones then to go on the tax rolls would be TID 1, 13, and 16. And TID 16 is Amazon. TID 13 is Gordon Foods. And TID 1 is the oldest TID in the city. It's the First Industrial Park. And that will have been a TID for about 41 years. It started in 79. So that'll be $287 million of value that'll go on the tax rolls in 2020. Then moving down, you'll see TID 6, 8, and 9 are estimated to go on the tax rolls in 2021. TID 6 is Harborside. TID 8 is the Business Park 2. And then TID 9 is the McWhite site. So those are all estimated to go on in 2021. 2022, TID 10, which is Wilson Heights, is estimated to go on the tax rolls in 2022. 2023, TID 4 and 7, that's $108 million in value. TID 4 is Harbor Park. It's the big one with the museums that we've talked a lot about. It's the one that's struggling the most. And then TID 7 is the brass site, which I think you know what that is. And then in 2024, then TID 5 is estimated to go on the tax roll. And that's the business park. So then all of the business parks will be on the tax rolls by 2024.
Question.
So I. Terry, I saw some questions from the community mm-hmm. members, and the first one I saw was Jeff Gens, and the second one I saw was...
No, no, excuse me a second. I was good.
Paul, I missed Kim.
Maybe they'll ask, but I'm going to ask.
I can wait.
What I saw at the top was not estimated that it's going to go on the tax roll. You said estimated three times, and I did not see estimated. It terminated
estimated
as...
Estimated.
No, that's an estimated amount to go on. That's not what I'm questioning. Terminated as of those dates. Are those set concrete dates?
No, those are estimated dates. Estimated TID termination dates.
Then you need to change the top of it.
Well,
because
that's
I'm looking
this
at,
is a city report.
But it says that the TID is terminated as of 1/1/19, but then it says last collection year is 2019.
No, as of this report was created and issued on September 5th of 2014. So as of September of 2014, the city is estimating that these are the dates of termination.
But they're not committing those.
There is no legal commitment to terminate.
So if they don't terminate at the time that they're putting on this report, nobody has anything to say about it?
Well,
I mean, like the committee you sit on, I mean, don't you, if they submit a report to you guys that says, I mean, I don't know how they would create a report that one category says estimated and two do not say estimated. Those sound pretty matter of fact to me. Last collection year, to me, as I read that report, it says last collection year, and I'm not saying you didn't write the report. But my concern is that all of a sudden in 2023, TID 11 is still on there.
Right. So I can discuss that and explain it. So by law, if the costs of these districts have been paid, then they must dissolve them. The estimates that they provided show that this is when they believe the costs will be paid and they can dissolve them. There's a lot of things that can happen that can cause the date to be later or sooner. So for example, let's say property values decline. They won't generate as much revenue and then they'll go longer. If property values go up, they'll generate more revenue and they'll retire them sooner. Let's say a law is adopted that right now there's been one law already adopted that will cause it to take longer. They're removing most of the levy for Gateway and vocational technical schools. So that they're going to lose about 75 cents to a dollar of increment just from that. So there's a lot of things that can happen that can cause the this to change. But based on the estimate and based on the action that was taken by the city and Joint Review Board, these are the estimated dates of closure. Now, the city is committed to sticking to this plan, and they're not going to incur additional project costs that would cause things to go out of line. And they have also said that if they issue any new debt, they would bring that back to the Joint Review Board for approval. They said that, so. But, you know, there are things beyond everybody's control that could cause this to close either sooner or later, but I know I'm repeating myself. But by law, if the forecasts are met, they must close. So, Ron?
The question I have is, when you create a TIG, you're supposed to be putting, like, Amazon's going on the one out there and whatever, okay. So, in the meantime, the city has some downtown here, and they decide that they're going to take part of the property and put a museum on it. And they're obviously, museums don't pay taxes. How do they do that? I mean, how can you do that?
I can talk.
Or how can
about,
you build public buildings on a TID when it's never going to develop any tax revenue because it's never going to pay taxes?
Yeah,
and then that takes away from it. So
April, I don't know how well we'd be able to display this TID for, but why don't we try, and then I'll show you which pieces we can put up there. It's TID 4, so a little further.
Further down?
That's the summary. So go down a couple more pages. There's TID 1, now to the next sheet, and then we'll be there. Okay, TID 4, blighted. Okay, so that's TID 4. That's where the museum is.
Okay.
Now, go down to the bottom of that page, not all the way to the right, but to the bottom. So when you look at the bottom, you see, stop right there. You see $97 million. See the $97,830,000?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then that's very good, April, thank you. And then point to the $49 million. Mm-hmm. Those two numbers are interesting numbers. So the $97 million is the estimated value of TID 4, which would include the museum, in 2031 when this TID should close. But actually, they're estimating it'll close sooner than that, I think they're estimating it'll close. I think if you look at the sheet, it can close earlier than that. So the report that we had will show it can close earlier than that. But in 2031, $97 million will be the value.
I'll be 101 by that time.
I was just going to make a motion that you have to oversee that.
$49 million represents the increments that district paid between 1999 and 2029, let's say roughly $50 million. All right. Now, when that was approved in 2006, that number, that $97 million number, was $430 million. They were estimating that district would generate $430 million of new value.
Yeah.
And they were estimating that $49 million would generate $150 million of tax income. Okay. Three times more. Okay. Oops. Now if you scan to the right, April, scan to the right, this
is becoming clear as mud so far. Go ahead.
This section here, okay, the $17.5 million. All right, go up to the top and show the $17.5 million. They're going to do a refunding of $17.5 million at 4%. Now scan down.
Wait a minute, Ben,
here.
Say that again.
I'll come back.
Who's they?
The city.
Okay.
Right here.
Now show this section right here. And then try to get the bottom in $22 million. Okay, there. Okay. So that refunding will cost $22 million. What they did was issue a thing called a CAM, Capital Anticipation Note. That CAM is what they're using to fund a $15 million museum. So in other words, they haven't paid anything for the museum yet. Nothing's been paid for the museum. I don't know how long ago that thing was built.
What do you mean nothing's been paid?
They issued what's called capital anticipation.
Oh, so they haven't paid anything off yet.
Right. So that note accumulates interest, which then compounds. And then later in this year, which is 2016, they're going to refund that CAN with this $22 million. Now, that $22
refund, million. Refund.
They're going to refund the.
Am I the only one that's not? Are you following this?
They're going to refund the bond that the borrowing instrument that they issued to get the money to build the museum.
Uh-huh.
They're going to refund that. So the cost of that is $22 million. So this TID 4 is paying $22 million for the museum. Now, the thing, without going through all the numbers, in order to make this TID cash flow, they're taking increments from TID 1 and TID 5. And that's going to be 40 to 50 million. Let's say about 40, between 40 to 50. But about half of that money that they need to make this cash flow is going to fund that. So in other words, they doubled the bar or hurdle they had to clear to get this thing to cash flow because they built a museum there. So had they not built a museum, instead of having to pay 40 or 45 million, they would have only had to pay 20 or 25 million. Now, that's the summary of that I'm trying to give you to answer your question, which I think I may have answered.
You may have come pretty close. Is what they did is they didn't pay for the museum, they didn't pay for it.
Right. And I think it's.
That's my debt because I live in the city.
I hope it's more clear. Ron, earlier you said it was not clear. I hope.
Yeah, well, you know, it didn't. Then we've got one mayor down there and another one that used to be there for 16 years. He's talking about running again. Right. We need another museum. Maybe we can build another museum.
Now,
there, you know.
The thing I'll say, and I said this at the last meeting about the museum, is at the time they presented this, estimates of this development were a lot more than what it turned out to be. The Great Recession turned a $400,000 to $500,000 value estimate to, they're hoping that it's $100 million. So
what about the Civil War museums? Is that on the same property?
Yeah, well, this is, that's all there.
Is that one paid for yet?
That I think might have been funded with a foundation.
Oh, I'm relieved, you know.
So for example, they got a $5 million payment from the town of Summers.
So District 1 and District 5 are going to fund this.
Right.
So we're not going to get tested on this, I hope.
What'd you say?
They have.
I hope we're not getting tested on this.
If they are, I flunked. I think everybody in the room did except him.
Yeah.
If they weren't transferring those increments to TID 4 to make TID 4 cash.
Well, now, that's a really important point.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the essence of the objection. Right,
you'll be
there.
Paying for the museum and you'll be 80 years old.
They would have closed.
Did you get that, Ron? I think that's
what
the
way
most
to do
District
point,
District 1 and District 5 would actually close earlier.
And be placed on the tax roll.
Except that they're going to be funding District 4.
Yes, that's the real
estimate. That's where the county loses money.
Between the city and the county.
Right.
That's what you got to take away from
the. Aren't you glad you don't live in the city?
Right. Huh? I'm glad I don't live in the city.
No.
Aren't you glad you don't live in the city?
On the other hand, if these other two districts weren't paying that, then
I might sell my house and move over.
The general
I can't
fund,
do that.
The general taxpayer from the community would be paying for the
And right. But the next part is Andy Reamy wants to come
that's
back.
That's really the essence of the dispute.
So what I saw when I saw their proposal, had this not been approved, it would have been very difficult for the city and the residents of the city. The position that we find ourselves in today is, had we not transferred these increments from 1 and 5 to cover 4, which that's about 80% of this, that they would have had to put millions of dollars on the tax bill for city residents. And that would have been very harmful to our economy and to the residents of the city. So,
and their next election.
Well, it's sort of it sort of defeats the theory of the TID.
I agree. There were things. However, when you look at that first sheet and you see that $600 million will come on the tax roll eventually, including things like Amazon, this is a really, really long long-term thing, I mean, decades long. And granted, going back to TID 1, there was special language that was approved by the legislature allowing TID 1 to last longer than at the time 23 years, which now has moved up to 27 years. That TID was permitted to last for 41 years.
And by the original legislation, it was 23.
Originally, it was much shorter than that, but what happened, it was 23, was much shorter than 41.
Yeah.
But the legislation was done because you got to remember what happened at the time. Chrysler had said it all. And a lot of pieces were tried to, community put a lot of pieces together, many pieces together, this being one of them. Another one, they adopted a law allowing utilities to have holding companies, right? They adopted budgets that allowed Highway 50 to get improved. And there were many things that were done to help our community because of what happened with Chrysler. And this was one of them. And so the business park, the first TID in the city, which was created in 1979, was performing well. But they wanted to, at the time, that was nothing but, you know, it was a an old factory that had to be demolished, which then did get demolished by Chrysler. And then all we had was bare land. So you got to remember, we were starting with nothing with that bare land there. And so that they wanted to have TID 1, the funds from TID 1, available to help with that and get everything built in. Then they decided to, then the economy started booming. We had this booming economy in between 2000 and 2005, 2006, and we got a thing called the real estate bubble. And we had an estimate that that thing would generate $400 million of value, over, you know, $400 to $500 million in value. Now you can see it's less than $100 million. So at that time, it looked like a fine thing to do to build a museum. It would generate plenty of increments, a thing would cash flow. TID 1 and TID 5 could close, they wouldn't need the increments. This thing would generate huge dividends for the community. That site that the museum is on, you can't do anything with that site. It's restricted. You couldn't build any commercial development on there that would generate tax base. So this, the city at the time, and I can still remember Nick Arnold and John Anderanian talking about it, this was a way of generating economy and helping the downtown. That was their, so by building this public facility, the idea was that it would generate tourism, which would generate economics indirectly, whereas we couldn't generate economics directly through tax base. So that was the idea. So that coupled with this $400 to $500 million value, it seemed like it was viable. It turned out not to be viable.
Okay. I got a question. I recall John Vlasic stating that when they were going to build the marina, that he went up and looked and found an old law that says they cannot develop other than public, for the public's use, anything past the 1800 so-and-so shoreline. And I believe that's why they built the museums, because they couldn't build any corporate or you know, private investment on the land that was east of that shoreline. But my question is, well, you may not know, how did they build that big boathouse on the end?
The thing I remember, and I could, this might not be accurate, but here's what I remember. I remember the city, the administrators and the attorneys researched the land use. And the research they did that you talked about is that's the starting point. That there are restrictions on, some of this is building in lake bed. It's restricted. You can't, you know, the Great Lakes is governed by this country of Canada and the country of the United States, and they have a commission, and there's things you can do and things you can't do to the Great Lakes. And it's in a lake bed, it's restricted, you can't build on it. But what they did was they formed some agreement where they moved one part that seemed viable for building that was in a lake bed that couldn't build. So they allowed that to get built on, and then moved that land area to where the museum and some of the other pieces are, like the park is. So they were able to shuffle that around and had agreements to maintain the same amount of lake bed, but shuffle the deck and move some of the property around. So the part that was viable to build, that they couldn't build on, they got permission to build, and then flipped that vacant requirement to another part that might have been buildable. But they did that kind of swapping going on. And I can't tell you the exact, I know that swapping happened. I don't know if it related to that boathouse or other areas or not, but I thought it might. My memory, decades of trying to remember things that happened decades ago. But I do know that kind of a thing did happen, and they were able to find ways of moving things around so they could build here and then gave up the right to build another.
Nothing would ever happen if it hadn't been for 2008 collapse. We'd have been okay, right? If it wouldn't have been for the 2008 collapse, we'd have been okay, right?
Well, maybe. I don't think they would have gone up to 400 to 500 million. I don't think that would have happened.
They never would have made it anyway.
But I think they would have been in much better shape. And maybe the thing would be cash flowing, possibly cash flowing, without any sharing. Because it didn't need to go up to 400 million. You know, it needed maybe half that. So, but the thing is when you get a forecast that says 400 million, it makes it a little easier at that time to say build a museum. Now, as far as the law on
building, you're saying that was a tall tale?
Well, the thing about making a decision to build a museum is it was questioned. There were some current members on the county board that did ask fair questions about that, and it was discussed, and we've all discussed at the time. And we did go to legal counsel. And legal counsel did advise the Joint Review Board that it was a lawful thing to do. And I can still remember getting walked through the statute. And there's a section in 66.1105, blah, 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 is where the TIF law is. And I don't know, it's maybe 40 pages or 50 pages of law, I can't remember. Maybe longer than that, I don't know. But there's one section that has exclusions in it, and it excludes police departments, it excludes city halls, I think it might exclude libraries. And so there was a legal list of exclusions. And the attorney from Quarles and Brady said, the way the law functions, if it's not on the legal list of exclusions, it's legal. And that's the way the law functions. So by virtue of the fact that the word museum was not on the legal list of exclusion, meant it was legal and the city would be allowed to do that and use TIF to fund that. It didn't mean that the JRB must approve it. I mean, other tests had to be passed in order for the Joint Review Board to approve it. But they did bring in project estimates that showed it was viable. One of them being values of $400 million, you know. So, but
new proposal to fund, pay off the mortgage for the Boys and Girls Club, is that related to this?
Yes.
Is that TIF new TIF money to pay that off? Is that the position? I read the article in the newspaper, and I read that between the lines. That wasn't stated. And I think that's worth discussing up front.
Go,
I think so, too.
Go to the top of the first page. A couple of pages. To the very first page.
Thank you.
So, there we are. City of Kenosha, consolidated actual and projected cash flows for TIF District 1 through 10 with TIF 4 and TIF 5 proposed amendments. The proposed amendment for TIF 5 is $1 million for Incinerator. The proposed amendment for TIF 4 is, it's either 2 or 3 million for Boys and Girls Club, I can't remember.
Is that where that is?
It's in TIF 4. Now, these estimates include the important thing that we take from this is these estimates include payoff of that in addition.
So how does that fit within the theory of economic development? That's what I mean.
It's blight elimination. It fits in the term of blight. So TIF can be used for other purposes, one of them being blight elimination. I mean, there's several purposes for TIF.
So what blight are you eliminating?
It meets the legal definition.
Oh, I see.
Because
I
see. it doesn't specify.
It's a retrospective decision. Is that been approved?
It has not been approved.
Because the property it was built on might be blighted or what? Or was blighted or? Well, you said, how do you fit the Boys and Girls Club in this whole thing? Did you explain that? Did I miss you or did I miss
something? He just explained it.
Oh, the boy, it's lawful under the statutes for TIF relative to blight.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's lawful now. So it isn't necessarily economic development, it's blight. So when they bring the proposal in, which I haven't seen the proposal, then I'll be able to make a judgment, does it meet the lawful standard for that? And I haven't seen the proposal.
But usually when you do these things, it's prospectively, you make this policy decision, we're going to build XYZ to eliminate blight. We don't build a building, and then when they get into financial difficulty, say, well, that was a very good idea. It did eliminate blight, and because now they're in financial difficulty, we'll let the general public pay for it. It seems like it's backwards. It's a retrospective decision to cover somebody else's financial woes. That's the policy decision.
So that's an element of this. So here's one of the things you heard discussed is that the state has a thing called legislative council, which they created a committee to review TIF. And so, for example, when they created a new law that permitted transfers from donor or performing TIFs to non-performers, which I just talked about.
Right.
However, the criteria that they set for a joint review board to approve that was the same as for approving a new TIF district. So you're right, it doesn't fit. They need to review the criteria, the legal criteria that we're supposed to opine on, that we have a duty to rule on as a joint review board when they bring these things in. So one of the things I'm recommending to that legislative council is that this kind of a thing we talked about, Terry, they establish criteria for these situations, I mean, so when I approved this on joint review board, these transfers, it was all after the fact. Everything the economic development is already, we've already gotten what we're gonna get, of course, or will get what, like Amazon will build, right? So, but by me approving transfers from TID 1 and 5 to 4, that's not gonna generate any new economic development. It's an after the fact approval. Now there are criteria in there that give me some leeway. It's a very fine point in the law and gets very dense. I can get into it if you want me to.
Who proves finally whether the Boys and Girls Club is going to be paid for through TIF money?
Ultimately, so what will happen is the Common Council, it starts with the Plan Commission, then the Common Council, then it'll go to the Joint Review Board. After all, if it passes those hurdles, then it'll be done. And it'll be a done deal. I haven't seen the plan yet. I haven't seen it.
Can I ask a question, Terry?
Yes.
The Boys and Girls Club is a 501c3. They're on their own, right?
Oh, sure.
But whatever. Yeah, okay. So they took out a loan to build the building, got some donations from a lot of people. And so now that 501c3 Boys and Girls Club, which is an agency by themselves, just like the agency that I ran, only a lot smaller, has this debt.
Right. Right.
And somehow the law says that now government can pick up that mortgage and pay it for it?
I'll wait their legal review and opinion on it.
I mean, I'm not, don't get me wrong, the Boys and Girls Club is a good, but I don't know how that can be legal, how you can...
There's different things that, beyond just buying brick and mortar, that TIF money can be used for. So for example, we can use TIF money for economic development or a thing called a high impact fund. So we borrow, transfer the money to CABA, and then they have a fund that they can use to provide incentives for development. I remember researching whether we could use it for homeless shelter, and I had done that research, I don't know, 5 or 10 years ago, and it could be used for a thing like that. So the law has some flexibility like that.
I think that the objectionable part to me is that this is all in retrospect. They got into financial trouble and now we're doing some financial engineering to get them out of financial trouble. And maybe that financial trouble was because of poor financial management. Nobody sat down with government and said, well, we're going to get rid of some light on 52nd Street and we'll do that by construction of this Boys and Girls Club. And we'd like government to help out by including that within the TIF district. That's a policy decision you make prospectively. Now, they got into financial trouble and where does it fit in? Oh, it's light, yeah. And we'll pay it off. That doesn't strike me as good management at all. And what's been the financial management over there at the Boys and Girls Club? I mean,
so we pay it off.
I've heard some things.
We pay it off.
But I'd like to know what they really are.
We pay it off. Let's say it's legal. We do it. And then we pay the mortgage off. Now what happens if they dissolve? They can sell the building and make a profit?
Absolutely.
I don't know what would happen with that.
That don't make any sense.
Well, I don't know why they couldn't do that. I mean, if they agreed to pay it off, they paid it off.
I know that usually what happens, and I know the city does this, the other local governments that I've been review boards for have done it, is they have what's called a developer agreement. And so there's some quid pro quo if they're going to get funding through this developer agreement, then there's some benefits that the city would get. So I'm not sure, you know, what would happen? Would some of that money come back to the city and then flow back to the overlapping jurisdictions, including the county, and we would get our share back? I'm not exactly sure. You know, that possibly could be one way they would craft that.
Yes, sir.
Dave, aren't they running up against, from the conversation last time, a limit based on the percentage?
Right.
So what's happening with that?
So right now the city is at about 8% or 9% total value. So the limit is 12% of their total. When I say equalized value, you know what I mean, right? The property value. As determined by the Department of Revenue through a bureau called the Bureau of Equalization. They're at 8 or 9%, but when they did this Amazon deal, that's such a big deal. You saw it was over 180 million. When that goes on in the TID district, that's going to push them up against the 12%. Now, we're glad Amazon's here, but it's going to push them up against the 12%. So they're going to need relief in some way on that. Now, one way to get relief is to close out a TID district, but they're seeking relief through state legislation by pushing it up to 15%. So that's where this is all going now. I mean, we talked about the legislation last meeting. I touched on it a little bit this meeting. There's this legislative council and they're looking at a whole array of things related to TIF districts. And one of them is that limit. And so if they push it up to 15%, then the city has they've got the cushion they need to allow Amazon's value to get on the rolls, but still stay under the cap.
And so has there ever been a TIF district that has closed?
Pleasant Prairie.
In the city?
In the village of Pleasant Prairie.
That's the only one?
Never. The city, never. Although there's some housekeeping ones they should close. And they have talked about that. Some of these small districts they should close.
But it's something like the Boys and Girls Club continues then to eat up and close that 12% gap. So that if you don't get legislation increasing that 12%, you're really limited your economic growth for the city of Kenosha.
Right.
That's what you've really got. No more. At least for TIF district, you can have to do it another way.
The real thing that's driving the city up to the 12% is Amazon. In that first chart I showed you where there was $600 million of value that'll come on over about a decade, about $170 million of that was Amazon. So the fact that Amazon will be, they'll build that thing over a couple of years, it'll go from zero to $170 million, and that's all going to be in TIF. That's going to be what's pushing them up against 12%.
Yeah.
That more than anything else, if you look at these multi-million-dollar things that are really material that really affect all these ratios, when you're looking at $4.5-5 billion in value.
Look at the jobs that's created, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's really no recourse, right? I mean, if we say we don't want them to do the Boys and Girls Club, there's nothing we can do,
well,
right?
The city, if they review this and determine it's legal and the city approves it, then they put it before the Joint Review Board, and then the Joint Review Board is the only other thing that could have any control over that.
That's one of
one vote,
city,
right?
One us, one school district,
right,
one gateway, one.
Right. It has to be unanimous.
A majority of those present, and you need
and
a quorum of
only
three
one
of
vote,
five.
We usually have the.
So you're on there.
We have on for number four. You've got a. Frank Pacetti, and by law, it actually mentions administrator.
Would you have to swear in front of
or mayor. So usually the administrator or the mayor chair of the thing. They've got Pat Fenimore from the school district, Bonnie Tolmie from Gateway, and then they have an alderman. As the at-large, those are the five.
Sounds like a taxes to me.
Did the state equalize come out yet?
August 15th, it came out. It went up 2.8. Did it?
Yeah,
it's
that's
in
what
the
I
budget.
Heard. Yeah.
After 5 years of decline, it finally went up.
Got an email from Gateway. They want to because of new construction. They want to do some things. So can't explain it to you right now, but. I got a meeting next week on that one.
Well, it's been very informative. Is there any other discussion?
I mean, if you like, I could talk more.
Oh, God.
All right. Any individually, I could probably spend a few days on it.
Yeah, well, you know what?
I didn't bring my
sleeping
bag.
I don't have a couple days. If I ever get a couple of days, I'll come and see you.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
You need three of them. One of the
subjects.
So when you think about this, though,
no
this
test.
Does impact the county as well, because money is now coming to the county as a result thereof.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's kind of
the
concluding part of this discussion, that we certainly don't have a lot to say if we basically have one vote on this review commission.
So if TID 1 and 5 were on the tax roll today, it would save about $6 per $100,000 in value.
Really?
So
wow.
If that's, Terry, that's your point.
Right.
That $140 million for those two districts would reduce your taxes by about $6.
Exactly. How much money, I guess, I'm looking, how much are these TIDs costing the county
in revenue? I mean, you just said $6 per. I mean, basically, when you have a TID, you're denying the county tax money.
Well, it's not. So the argument always is that, but for the TID, the value wouldn't be there. So it's that $600 million. The argument would be that would be zero if there was no TID this year. And I'll bet you most of that wouldn't be there if we had not created the TID district. So if you can argue we're not losing a nickel because the value wouldn't be there if we didn't have the TID district.
Called economic development, right?
God bless you.
But it's about 5% of the value. So if you look at our levy of $60 million, it would be about 5% of that.
But
about
if the TID never closes down and they keep.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, we're getting nothing from it.
Right. So, again, it's for those two kids that are TID 1 and 5 that are staying open to keep to fund 4. That's about $6 per $100,000.
I don't think anybody's really advocating the closure of a TID. It's the wise use of it that we're really discussing.
Right.
I think.
Yeah. So, and the law is examining that. So that's really the thing that's happening that addresses that point directly is the law review. Now, those two TIDs would generate just shy of $800,000 for the county. So of the $3 million, it would be about $800,000.
All right. Any other discussion on this subject?
Still absorbing that. So not tonight. Maybe you can start. Give us
all right,
another chapter.
Then let's move on to the other reports. If there are any anything else from finance.
I know. Al has a couple things to report.
Just a couple of comments. The Finance Committee budget hearings start next week.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I gave you a copy of the schedule. We will be taking up the Brookside initial resolution on Thursday when we do Brookside. A copy of the initial resolution is attached here. And we will have food at 5 o'clock on Wednesday and Thursday. Yes.
Do we know what the food schedule is?
Yeah.
I'll be here.
Do we have the food schedule? We were looking at right now. I'm not for sure.
What's on the menu?
Tanuda's on Wednesday, and from the Brookside Cafe on Thursday is the tentative.
Okay.
Unless anyone has some suggestions, we can do something else. But that was. But we'll have food in the auditorium room at 5 o'clock.
Steak muffin.
Right. Remember that, Jared. Be here at 5. Yeah. Yeah. Have dinner.
His ears went up.
Yeah. Secondly, and then the only final thing is there's a few reports that were in your packet.
Get a meal out of all this time you're
pressure. Anyway, the Sheriff's Department overtime report, and the county clerk, and the registered agent reports. That's all I have.
Yeah, before we adjourn, I'd like to ask some stupid questions. We sign this here? Yeah, this bill? I was wondering, maybe we could get a report on a few of these items. I know it's a lot of money, but it's taxpayer money. Reindeers, Inc., $1,203. What's Reindeers?
Reindeers.
Is that fertilizer or equipment?
Okay. And before I sign it, I'd like to also ask about Little Red Riding Hood.
Clothing.
Huh?
Don't you know her?
Maybe we could have a quick summary when we sign these, telling us what these are about.
You can ask questions anytime on any of those bills. I mean, Finance Committee used to do that more in detail and then decided against it. And we used to present to the board in detail a discussion of every one of those bills.
I would like that. Maybe I'm the only one, because a lot of these, I'm sure a lot of these I can see are worthy, but then a couple of them jump out like
Mark?
Little Red Riding Hood. I mean,
can you
let me see, I might be able to tell where at least what department it is. I know Reinders is the part.
The thing that works the best is if you see a bill that you want to ask about, then just let me know and we'll. And Rick, I've done that with maybe 5 to 10 things.
Yeah, for me, and you've done, thank you.
So I think it's more cost-effective to, rather than, because we cut an employee when we stopped doing that. So by doing that, we were able to cut an employee out of my department. But so in order to keep the savings, if you have one, you have a question, then you can look at the bill and that look at any one.
That one I'd have to look up. Yeah.
We'll make a point on it.
I'll sign it, but I mean, Red Riding Hood is only $214, but I'd like to know what they're for.
The other thing that you can do is contact Mark and just, what's Mark's last name?
Mark Felsin.
Felsin.
I figure if they get by you, they must be okay.
And ask him if you can get a copy of.
I figure if they get by you, they must be okay.
So that you can look at it.
Prior to the meeting?
Prior to the meeting.
Yeah, it would be a day of the meeting, because I don't think they printed before.
When Reggie Googled it, there's some like home health care.
Yeah, in-home elderly assistance and supportive home health care. And also small claims assistance.
That's the Red Riding Hood?
Yeah.
Oh.
For Kenosha, I mean, for this area.
Okay.
But it was $241 bill.
What we'll do is we'll look at those bills and then we'll send an email to the committee, right? We'll ask Mark and Mary.
Thank you.
On the riders and the riding hood.
Thank you. All right. Any other reports or discussion? Alright, seeing none, then
we'll do adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Oh, Lord. The city does everything by a.